Of Luke this morning, and talking about the name of the, I don't like to name sermons or title them, but I'm going to title this one because it's clever, and I wanted to preach it last year, but last year, if you remember, I was not here for Thanksgiving week, and so this sermon is Nine Turkeys at Thanksgiving, and we're going to look at the guys there. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, the 10 lepers that are cleansed. And so I'm excited about this message. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing over our time together. Are you glad to be here this morning? I'm glad to be here. This is a good place to be. And it's warm. We're out from the cold. And I'm thrilled to be in this church. God's blessed me. Thinking about, well, we've been here a year, really solid now, a year and a couple months, and God has blessed me, and I'm really thankful to the Lord that that this church and everybody here that we've become friends with, God's blessed me to overabundance, and I'm very thankful. I want you to know that my family does not take it for granted that we have a good church that we get to worship with and people that we get to love. And so we're thankful to be here. Let's pray. God, we love you. You've been good to us this year. And Lord, I suspect that as we count our blessings in this room, that you've been abundantly better to everyone in this room than anyone deserves. And so we're thankful for a God who's gracious and faithful. And Lord, we just give you our time now and our capacity to listen and to pay attention and to hear from you. So we ask that you'd accomplish something great in this room. Spirit of God, meet us in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm excited about Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. It's the one that, Christmas is everybody's favorite, but I love Thanksgiving. It's the one that I have the most sort of fond memories of. I remember very fondly. I think I wrote some of this in the newsletter, but I remember very fondly football with. I have two older brothers and my dad, and we'd always play two-on-two touch football every Thanksgiving, and then my mom would invite me for whatever reason. I was the one to crush oregano in one of those mortar and pestles, you know, and I would crush a bunch of garlic and oregano and pepper and olive oil in that, and then I would be charged with poking. I did this as long as I can remember. Poke a whole bunch of holes in the turkey and stuff this garlic oregano mix in there, and then I'd cut butter, and we'd stuff it with butter, the turkey. And I remember doing that. This was way before injection was invented. We knew what we were doing. You know, we had a flavorful turkey with garlic, and I remember that with such fondness. And I love food, just turkey from Jesus that we'd get to enjoy. I mean, just wonderful turkey. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to macaroni and cheese. From the Spirit of God's going to bless that mac and cheese and rolls and turkey. You excited about it? And I'm excited about what God's going to do Thursday in my house. This is my favorite. It's my favorite holiday. But sometimes we get lost in it. We get lost in it, and we forget what we're thankful for. But being thankful is not really the thing. Everybody's thankful, but who are you thankful to? That's the real question. So everybody goes around the tables like, I'm thankful for this. Yeah, but who are you thankful to? Who gave you that? And so we have to remember to be thankful. But be thankful to God for all that He's done, immeasurable blessings, and of all the things that we don't deserve, God's blessed us despite ourselves. So this week, let's remember to be thankful, but not just that, but to remember to thank God for all the blessings of God on our life. So as we study this morning, we may get a little rowdy in here because I know there was a lot of cheering last night, Ohio State 14-7, and everybody thought that was great, and then it was 14-14, and then everybody, I don't have to rehash this, I don't have to open up the, I don't want to bring up old wounds here, You remember how excited you were when that touchdown happened. It was 14-7. You remember that, how excited you were? And so I want us to be equally excited this morning about what God's done. Because what God's done is more exciting and is something more to be thankful for and to get energetic about than any football game. And so, I think it's important that we get excited about the things of God and we show a little bit of passion, a little bit of energy. So if you're excited today about what God's done in your life, feel free at any time to just say, just to not blurt out, you know what I'm saying? Be in order. But this is a time. We're giving us permission today, a little bit of permission to be excited about all that God's done in your life. All right, let's get excited about it. And don't be all sourpuss on us this morning. This is not the day. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. And we're going to be excited. So let's read this wonderful passage, verse 11, Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And while he was on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, ten leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when they saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." It's a great passage. It's a great passage. So it's 10 leprous guys, and they see Jesus, no doubt. Jesus at this point has had late in his ministry, has had a lot of ministry opportunity and a lot of healings. So they see him at a distance. Now, of all the diseases you could think of, particularly in Jesus' day, leprosy was top 3, a disease you did not want to get, maybe top 2. But this was bad. I mean, it started off as a little rash, and a little sore, and you put your little Neosporin on it, you know, and you kind of, no problem. It gets worse. A little, you know, man, what, these mosquitoes around here in the Middle East are really bad. Why do I have to live here in Jerusalem? And you just start kind of realizing, next thing you know, the skin starts turning blue. And next thing you know, it goes all over, and next thing you know, you're losing fingers, and it starts to eat at your body in a way that's unusual for a disease, and it just starts to impact everything about who you are. You have no normal way of life, and next thing you know, you're missing a nose, and you sneeze, and your nose falls off or something. You know, it's just a terrible, terrible disease. And then what's worse is when you realize you have it, and when somebody else realizes that you have it, all of a sudden, unclean, don't get around me, guy. Don't get around me. You're unclean. I don't want nothing to do with you. And so what would happen is that people that had leprosy would have to go out of the city and live in a community where they're constantly reminded of how bad a shape they're in because everybody they're hanging around is like them. And so you have a disease that not only disables you and gives you a disability that you're unable to do normal things anymore, but now you're cast out from society. You're no longer good enough. Everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows that you're diseased. You're outside, cast away, broken, beat up, on the margins of society, on the outside. And everybody's reminding you, unclean, because you had to say unclean. They had to profess it so that people would know to stay away. It was the law. They had to say unclean. They had to say unclean. They had to tell people that they were unclean. Imagine living this kind of life. No compassion. Nobody can ever come up and touch you because you're unclean. Nobody could ever give you a hug. Everybody that you hang around is just as broken and dejected and on the outside as you are. And you're constantly reminded about your state, about your condition. It was a bad disease. This is like the disease that you don't want. You know, it's interesting that these are the people that Jesus goes to, right? Jesus, in all his glory, in the Godhead that he is, the miracle that Jesus is, imparting healing to people. And these 10 guys, these 10 presumably friends, they see Jesus because Jesus goes to them and hears their cry. I think this is an amazing story. It's a story about Jesus caring about people that are marginal, people that are on the outside, people that don't look like everybody else. A Jesus that gets his hands dirty, gets his fingernails dirty, ministering to people. I just wanted to say that as a side note. That's the kind of church God wants us to be. Reaching people that are marginal, not people that look like us, sound like us, talk like us, people on the outside, people on the fringe. That's who God has a heart for, the broken. We need to stop playing church, as it were. Country club church has got to go. 2016 is going to be getting our hands dirty. So Jesus has a heart and a passion for broken people, and he hears the cry of these 10 guys. They're not stupid. The word about Jesus has gone out. Jesus is a healer. Jesus can accomplish great things. So on a shot, they decide, hey, Jesus is walking by. I mean, I guess if you were in their shoes, what do you think you would do? Hey, I'm going to ask for help here. The answer to my question. This is the answer to my problems. Jesus, the healer. Jesus has been reputed as healing people and accomplishing all these miracles. He's walking by, and so they see him, and passing between Samaria, he entered a village, and these leprous men, they were at a distance, and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, let's remember that this disease is not, there is no cure for leprosy in Jesus' day. There's no cure whatsoever. So they are jumping out on a limb here. They don't know what Jesus can do, but what they do know is that their experience with this disease has not all the promises of medications, whatever happened in their day, all the things that they thought could happen good haven't. And so they have no hope. They have zero hope. The world has given them no solutions. And they say, Jesus walking by, and even though there is no hope, no known cure, they see Jesus and figure maybe there's a solution to this problem in the person of Jesus. And just on a hope, just with some little bit of faith, they raise their voices and they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And may I just say that everybody in this room at some point in your life had there's a time in your life, everybody in this room, that if you came to Jesus, you had no hope apart from Jesus, no hope whatsoever. Hopeless. The world had given you no solutions. Everything the world gave you was just more problems. And then you came to Jesus and you said at some point, have mercy on me. This is the story. This is a story that we can relate to because this is a story about hopeless, helpless people, and the God of the universe comes by and does something great on your behalf, despite the fact that you aren't worthy and you're unclean. That's our story. That's our story. This is not unique to this book. This is everybody in this room has this same story. No hope apart from Jesus. And Jesus comes by and does something. So somebody in this room today, I feel maybe that it's possible that there's somebody in this room that's hopeless today. You're struggling today with something, or you haven't had a good life in your mind. When we talk about Thanksgiving, you're saying there's nothing to be thankful for. And let me tell you something. By God's grace, he's coming by your city today, and he's in this room, and he wants to answer your prayers, and he wants to be there to meet your needs. That's the God that we serve. He's faithful, and he loves you. And it doesn't matter how rejected and dejected you are and how far in the peripheries you've been in society, God loves you and he's here right now walking by. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. This is awesome. So I think there's a principle here that they weren't cleansed until they took a step forward in the direction God was calling them to go. But had they not made that step, there would have been no healing for them. Is everybody following this? There are people in this room right now, again, the same group of people. You're out on the margins. You don't know. You need an answer. God has an answer for you, but you have to take a step in the direction that God's calling you to go, or there will be no healing. There's some obedience that has to happen here. And so these guys, that Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. Well, they haven't been healed yet, but they're like, okay, Jesus, I don't know, I'm going to go. That's what Jesus said to do, so I'm going. And on the way, no healing, but on the way they realized, lo and behold, they got a finger back. Their nose came back. No more scars. Restoration. Healing. And they realize that they've been healed. Now, this is an awesome story. So now put yourself now in these guys' position, because we're either like the nine turkeys at Thanksgiving or like the Samaritan. Everybody in this room, if you are a child of God, God's done great things for you this year, and you have something to be thankful for, not the least of which is the fact that you are a child of the Most High God. Not the least of which is that. Even if you're having a tough day, you are a child of the Most High God. That's exciting news. That's something to be thankful for. Is anybody else thankful today that you're a child of the Most High God? This is exciting. This is touchdown time. This is the Super Bowl. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm excited about this thing, all right? I'm pumped. God is good, and he's bestowed grace on me, and I didn't deserve it. I was on the outside. All of a sudden, I'm on the inside with the camp that God's on. I'm in good company. I was on the outside. You know, nobody loved me. Nobody. Now I'm with the God of the universe, child of the Most High God. How awesome is this? How awesome is this? So everybody here has had some kind of good fortune, right? And so we're walking along the way, realize that God's healed us. God is good. And some bad news, though. Now one of them, when he saw that he'd been healed, turned back, glorified God with a, if you have a Bible, what's that next word say? With a loud voice, no little quiet, timid voice. You know, I'm a little scared of what people will think if I get all excited about Jesus at church. I'm scared about what people will think. I'll lose my dignity. Hello? Oh, listen. God just healed us. God is good. I'm not worried about what man says. I've been healed. I at one point in my life, didn't know that I'd have life in me at all. I was on a heart transplant list. God healed me. God healed my daughter. I am here by God's grace. God is good. And I don't care what anybody says or somebody looks down at me because I'm being a little bit too loud. God is good. I'm excited about God. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm not worried about what everybody else in the room thinks about me. What I'm worried about is that God hears my loud praise, and if God is in it, then I'm in it, and if God is good, I'm going to be excited about it. Amen. Everybody else excited about football games. We need to get excited about what Jesus has done in our life, not be scared about what everybody else thinks about us. If God loves you, then you have a reason to cry out with a loud voice. God is good. He's done great things for me. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. Go ahead and look down on me because I'm excited. I don't care. I love Jesus. I love him so much. I'm going to get excited about it. And if you don't like it, get over it. That's the spirit these guys had. This guy had. It's a loud voice. It's interesting that, you know, God's word says, right? Shout to the Lord with a loud, right? Okay, make a joyful what? Noise, all right? So there's a lot of jubilance that we have in Christ. No more dead Christianity. We're excited about what God's done in our life. We don't care who says what about it. We're gonna give God the glory. Or you're not excited. That could be it. Maybe you're not excited. Maybe it's gotten dull. Maybe kind of inside you've taken for granted all that God's done. Or maybe worse, you think you deserve what God's done. And so you have no sense of real happiness and joy for what God's done because somehow you deserve it. No. When you get to the place like these 10 lepers do and you're on the outside and God comes in, you're excited. You're excited. When you lived the life of sin and it was binding you and you had no way out and Jesus frees you from that and you have a relationship with the God of the universe, you get excited. So one of them, when he saw he had been healed, turned back glorifying God with a loud voice and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. Giving thanks to him. Man, Thanksgiving is so important. But Thanksgiving is just a day. The spirit of being thankful to a God, that's a attitude of gratitude. That's all the time. God, thank you. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. What you've done for me is good. You're a good God. Thank you. That spirit is something we need. And sometimes we get by, and I've done it. I'm so getting caught up into, I love the food. The only thing, I told you about it, the only thing I don't like is stuffing. It's wet bread. I'm not a big fan. I just think it's demonic. It's of the devil. There's no real good reason. Is that how Pam is? You like stuffing, Pam, or do you hate it? Ugh. Okay, I would like hers. Okay, you have to bring it by. So I'm not a big fan. You see what I'm saying? But the turkey, everything else is fine. Love it. Love it. Love it. But I hate, not hate, but I mean, I'll eat it. But I'm eating wet bread. Let's just call it what it is. So I get so excited about this meal. And one thing I get really excited about is I brine my turkey. So if you don't know what that means I really care for this thing because I care about food. And the night before, I put it in salty water with ice, and I let it brine for 24 hours. And I promise you that it's the most tender when you brine it. It's all the difference in the world, I promise. It's a little extra energy, but it's the difference between a dry turkey peg and a moist one. I promise. If you want to know my brine recipe, I'll put it on Facebook. You do not want to not do this. It will be all the difference in the world. I get excited about Thanksgiving. I brine it. I go through all this effort and energy. I'm going to make rolls. Teresa, I'm going to do my rolls. I'll be thinking of Teresa. She does such great bread. And so I'm going to try to make homemade rolls again. I love everything about it. And sometimes, and maybe you do this, you get so excited about it, you forget what the thing is about. And you forget, like, next thing you know, it's Thanksgiving evening and you're in bed. You're like, I didn't even pause to really just soak in how good God has been to me. You know what I'm saying? And they just missed the whole opportunity. I'll do better next year. And I want this year to be different for me. I really want to, and God has been especially good to me this year. I'm so thankful for all that God has done. It's like, I've got to be thankful. And I want to take that day and just really as a reverent worship God by just thanking him for how good he's been to me. He's been so good. It's kind of like these guys. This guy comes back, loud voice, excited about what God's done in his life, comes back and he falls down on his knees and thanks him and he worships him. Worships God. Jesus says, verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? But 9, where are they? There will be 10%. There will be a tithe of people, that a 10% of people that really turn back and worship God on Thanksgiving and are very thankful, but 9 out of 10 will not. If the divine statistician bears true, well, there'll be 9 people in this room potentially that let Thanksgiving go by and don't have a spirit of Thanksgiving. But just 1 out of 10 will come back and say, God, so thankful. So thankful for. Are you going to be a turkey on Thanksgiving? Not turning back and giving thanks to the God of the universe? And he said, Jesus, none was found who returned to give glory to God. So giving thanks to God is giving glory to God. Being thankful to God is giving glory to God, but it releases something. Notice what happened, verse 19, and he said to him, stand up and go, your faith has made you well. Well, hold on, he'd already been healed. He'd already been healed. Well, this is something different. His thanksgiving, his spirit of thanksgiving triggered or unlocked something in this guy's life that was extra over and above what the other 9 didn't get. And in this case, I believe, God's word doesn't say, but I believe it was a spiritual healing. He came for physical healing, but God, because he was thankful and came back, because he had faith, God said, listen, go, your faith has made you well. I believe that spiritually now he had gotten the answer to his true problem. It wasn't the leprosy, see. It was a spiritual condition. So his thanksgiving, his thankful spirit unlocked blessings and benefit from God. Are you following that? Is everybody following that? His desire to go back and be thankful was a way that God used to unlock more for this guy. See, I believe Thanksgiving is a good thing because the more we're thankful, the more God unlocks blessing over you because you've been thankful. God, thank you. And God looks at that and says, okay. What happens when your kid, when you get something for your children and they take it for granted after too long? You're like, you know what? I'm not getting anything else for these spoiled brat kids. I've never said that, but I'm just saying, maybe you said that. You know, these spoiled brat kids are a get too much. They don't need anything else. But, you know, every time you give something to your children, they come to you saying, thank you. Thank you, Dad, for that. And they're thankful for it. Even if they don't say thank you, you can tell they're thankful for what they've got. What's that do? What's that do? Doesn't that unlock a parent's heart to say, no, I want to do more for this child? You know what I'm saying? That unlocks something in me when my kids are thankful that says, I want to bless even more my children because they're thankful. But when I give something to my child and they say, okay, great, you know, I don't like this color. Okay. Well, tough. You see how much I give you anything moving forward. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm talking about? See, so when you're thankful, it unlocks something in the heart of God, the same way it does any parent that says, okay, this person's thankful, I'm going to bless that child. This is not rocket science. This is just the way the heart of God is. He wants to bless you, but unless you're thankful and voice your thanksgiving to God, he's not going to bless you. There's a point at which God says, if you're not thankful for it, if you're not happy for the blessings of God, I'm going to withhold my hand from you. I don't want that. So I'm saying, God, how loud do I have to get about my thanksgiving? Because I'm thankful. Because I need more blessing. I need God to come into my town and come into my life and bless me big time. And so I'm going to look back at my life and notice all the things God's done. And with loud thanksgiving, God, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the blessing that you've given us. Thank you for my good health. Thank you for the church that I'm in. God, thank you for Tiffin. Thank you for this city that it's safe. Thank you for the job that I have. Thank you for the clothes that I get to wear. Thank you that I have a heater that I get to go to tonight in my heated house. Thank you for my bed that might not be the most comfortable, but I have a comfortable pillow. Thank you for everybody following me. You have something to be thankful for, and every good thing comes from God. There's nothing here that you deserve. God does not owe you another breath. That is a gift from God given to you by the God of the universe so that you glorify God. And the more and more we take it for granted, the less and less God blesses you. Let's be thankful people. He's greatly to be praised. Let's be thankful this week. Do you receive that word this morning? Let's be thankful people. This Thanksgiving, you wake up Thanksgiving morning. Right? Start the morning. God, thank you for today. Thank you that I have another day to breathe. And I might not have done a good job at thanking you this year, but I want to thank you right now for this, all the things that God's given you that you've taken for granted. Give God thanks this week. Be a thankful people. And let's see if God doesn't unlock blessing and benefit for you this year because you're more thankful in 2016 than you were in 2015. Will we try it? I hope you receive that in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. You're a good God, and you're greatly to be praised. We thank you for your blessing to us. None of us in this room deserves another breath. We're not entitled to it. But the God of the universe, you've been gracious to us, and we're thankful. Thankful for all the blessings. God, we want to praise you with a loud voice. We don't care what anybody says, God. We want to be a thankful people to you. God, make this week a special blessing to everybody in this room. Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, rest over us and help us to be thankful this week that Thursday would be a day of worship as we worship you for all the great things that you've done for us. Help that to be the case. We ask it in Jesus' name, believing that in Christ, everything is, every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus. And so we're thankful. We love you today. God, dismiss us by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.